This is Old Time Radio Drama, and welcome. I'm Norman Gilliland. We're going to go aloft with Sky King in just a moment in a story from about 1948. We'll have the Lux Radio Theater from 1939, starring Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert, reprising their roles in the 1934 Frank Capra classic, It Happened One Night. Gangbusters tonight with the case of John K. Giles, taking you to Leech Lake, Minnesota, where fishing isn't the only activity. We'll hear from The Whistler tonight and a story called Dark Pattern from Late in the Run, 1954. X-1 tonight with a story by Robert Heinlein called The Roads Must Roll from 1956 and The Shadow with the Black Fedora from 1948. Well, okay, get ready to fasten your seatbelt and climb into the songbird, although you won't always have that option in this story tonight. It may be kind of a forced entry. In a story called The Lady Sheriff, Sky King on the air from 1946 to 54 with Earl Nightingale, who later went on to become a conservative radio commentator and interviewer, is Sky King. In this story that also features, in the periphery, Mike Wallace selling the Peter Pan peanut butter. Question tonight, who has skyjacked Penny and the Songbird, and what is the mysterious mine down below there? That's the question to be answered in The Lady Sheriff, tonight's episode of Sky King.
Hi, gang, this is Peter Pan. Every day when school is out, reach up on the shelves. Grab that jar of Peter Pan and treat yourself.
Peter Pan Peanut Butter presents Sky King. Today, the Lady Sheriff. In the early morning darkness, the Flying Crown Ranch is surrounded by headlights from cars and jeeps. Overhead, a plane cruises slowly, flashing a searchlight back and forth over the bleak prairie. And a strange rider brings her mount to a halt in the foothills, overlooking the ranch house.
Whoa, Indian boy, whoa.
Strange rider, indeed, an elderly woman. Astride a ridden-out palomino, dressed in elaborate Western clothes, and in her belt, two pearl-handled six-shooters, studded with diamonds. She scans the countryside, smiles, then wheels her weary mount down toward the ranch house when suddenly several riders come out of the darkness.
There she is!
Now we're got her.
But swift as lightning, the majestic old lady's hands reach for the diamond-studded six-shooters and...
Ah! Look out! Take cover!
Spray and land!
Get up! Get up, Indian boy! Get up!
She got away. Here, two of her men, Trent.
They're all right. She won't go far. Come on, she's heading for King's Ranch House. Right. We got her surrounded. Let's start riding! Come on!
Howdy, Sky.
Were you making all that noise, Sheriff?
Have you seen a rider around here tonight?
No, been asleep, Sheriff. This racket woke us up.
Our men are searching the stables and barn, Sheriff.
Huh?
Had her trapped in the hills back there, but she shot her way out.
She shot her way out?
Winged two of my best men.
Sky, this is going to be hard to believe, but it's Lady Alice we're hunting.
Lady Alice?
But, Sheriff, there must be some mistake.
That's what I thought, too, Sky. But there's a statewide alarm to be on the lookout for the lady.
You bet there is. She's run out with $60,000 worth of diamonds. My diamonds, and I aim to get them back.
Who is Lady Alice?
A walking legend, honey.
Yeah, she's one of Arizona's earliest settlers. She's been sheriff of Flintridge County for half a century.
Yes, and a corking good sheriff, too.
We could have trapped anyone else with roadblocks, but not Lady Alice and that palomino of hers.
Oh, I can't believe it. The law hunting down Lady Alice, why, she's as honest
as... I'll tell you how honest she is, King.
And who are you?
Name's Trent. I staked out a diamond claim and went to Flintridge County to get stockholders to put up money to mine the claim. To show my good faith, I gave my diamond samples to Lady Alice as security. And look what happened.
The lady always was crazy about diamonds, Sky. Those diamond-studded revolvers and...
Maybe, but she wouldn't steal diamonds, Sheriff.
She must have an accomplice somewhere, Sheriff. Couldn't hope to get away with this alone. and she was heading for the Flying Crown.
Look here, Trent. I don't know why she was heading here, but I do know Sky King, the most honest man alive.
Hey, and sir, if you come here, quick!
Well, they found something in the stable.
Something or someone. Come on.
Should string her up for this.
Sky, if Lady Alice is mad, I want cover. She shoots straighter than a porcupine quill.
Here we are. Right in here.
Well, I'll be.
Two men.
And they're tied and gagged.
Sheriff, these are my men. Whoa, do something. Don't just stand there.
Easy, Trent. Help me to ungag these men.
Here, I'll give you a hand, Sheriff.
Stole it from the back, behind that stall where the guns are.
You fool!
Get out there and signal my plane to land.
Okay, boss.
Sheriff, she's got a fortune in my diamonds, and she's getting away.
It's almost daylight, Sheriff. The lady can't go far on a horse. And between Trent's plane and the Songbird, we should be able to stop her.
Good idea, Sky.
Penny,
yeah?
Go warm up the Songbird.
Yeah, sure.
I'm starting after her on my plane right now.
I won't believe this until Lady Alice tells me herself, Sheriff.
I know, but...
Scott!
Huh?
Scott, come look at this stall.
What is it, Clipper?
Look, Sky, a Palomino.
Hey.
And it isn't one of ours.
No, it isn't, and it's been ridden hard.
That proves it, Sky, that proves it. I'd recognize Lady Alice's Palomino anywhere.
Hey, what's Penny doing to the Songbird?
Why, she's going to take off.
Look out.
Gracious sakes, taking off in the dark like that. Almost took the stable with her.
Sky, someone was with Penny. I couldn't see the face, but the hair was snow white.
Lady Alice.
Sheriff, you and your men stay in contact with me by radio.
Check.
Jim Clipper and I'll follow the Songbird and the Flying Arrow. We'll use radar till daylight. Come on. We'll find out where Lady Alice is making Penny fly her.
Songbird calling the Flying Arrow. Songbird calling the Flying Arrow.
It's Penny on the radio.
Here, I'll get it. Come in, Songbird. This is the Flying Arrow. Over.
I'll take it, Penny. Hello, Sky.
Hey, it's Lady Alice, Sky.
This is Sky King, Lady Alice. What's wrong?
You see that mine on Rocky Bluff? Well, Penny and I are going down there. Got any guns on that flying machine of yours besides your six-shooters?
We have a 20-millimeter cannon in the nose.
Good. Keep us covered. That's all.
Hello. Lady Alice. Come in, Songbird.
What's wrong, Sky?
Oh, they cut me out.
Sky, that mine on Rocky Bluff hasn't been worked in years.
Well, I'll be a two-toed lizard. Look, men are working down there. Looks like a beehive.
Hey, Penny's landing on the flat cliff just below the bluff. Hey, they must be going the rest of the way by foot.
Circle over again, will you, Clipper? There's something strange about that mining camp.
Sky, Trent's plane is closing in on us.
Huh?
Funny he hasn't contacted us by radio.
Hey, Sky, ain't he coming a mite too close?
Woo, Jim's right. What's the matter with them?
Maybe the radio's out of commission. Looks like they're trying to give us some kind of a signal.
Yeah, look, there's Trent waving his arms from the controls.
Keep her steady, Clipper, till I can make out what he wants.
Hey, Sky, Trent's man is opening the cabin door.
He's got a machine gun.
I'll take the controls, Clipper.
Sky, we're hit. We're going to crash.
Bring her out of this dive, Sky.
I don't want to, Clipper. We have to land fast.
Real fast. Sky, we're on fire.
Hence, overlook the fact that a jet plane can crash land a lot easier than a piston-driven plane. Keep our landing gear up. We'll level off and slide in on our belly. No propeller to nose us over.
Sky, we can't level off in time.
Oh, but we have to.
Hang on. As soon as we hit, grab that fire extinguisher, Clipper. Get out and spray the plane.
Oh, after all these years in the saddle, this is how I'm going to be thrown.
She's out. But the flight pairs before she flies again.
Oh, we're lucky.
Oh, the greatest landing ever. Crash instead of a crash landing.
Turn the radio, and he doesn't want us covering her. Penny and Lady Alice are in for trouble.
Trouble working up there?
Jim.
Huh?
I know now what was so strange about those figures we saw from the air.
What's that, Scott?
Not one of them ever moved.
What?
You mean they all...
Blocks ahead. Come on.
Hey! Shit.
Behind these rocks, quick!
Sky, what in tarnation is going on around here?
Trent's landed on the same cliff as the Songbird. He's cut us off from reaching Penny and Lady Alice.
But why, Sky? What's so mysterious about this old diamond mine up on Rocky Bluff that he's trying to kill us?
I don't know. We've got to help Penny and Lady Alice. And there's only one way to get to Rocky Bluff now, and that's to go up there shooting.
Say, fellas and gals, when you've been in school or out playing all day, I'll bet that you get home about as hungry as a starving giant, don't you? Now, I don't know what giants do when they get hungry, but here's the smartest thing that you can do. First of all, make tracks for that Peter Pan jar and fix yourself a whopping thick, wonderful-tasting peanut butter sandwich. Just slap it on extra thick. You know, Peter Pan is made of specially selected fresh roasted peanuts that are just bursting with extra good flavor. They're ground up extra smooth and packed right away before any of that wonderful fresh roasted peanut flavor can escape. And then, Peter Pan's special vacuum-sealed jar top locks that flavor in for sure. Oh, man. That's why Peter Pan's always so smooth and fresh. Doesn't get stale or stick to the roof of your mouth. That's why it's always got that really swell peanut flavor. Right down to the last tiny smidgen way down there in the bottom of the jar. Yep, just you take one bite, and you'll know why Peter Pan's the favorite peanut butter of wide-awake guys and gals all over the country. And don't you forget, gang, Peter Pan's a real good energy food, too. It's loaded with the extra pep, the extra energy that you need to be a real top-notcher in games and schoolwork. So why not ask your mom to bring you some home tomorrow, huh? Then next time that you're kind of hungry, fix yourself the tastiest treat in the whole wide world. A sandwich made of Peter Pan, America's favorite peanut butter. Now back to Sky King in The Lady Sheriff. Now, minutes later, Sky and his friends are attempting to scale Rocky Bluff under fire. Penny and Lady Alice walk across the old mining camp, go to shaft, leading deep into the bluff itself.
Oh, golly, I'm worried about Sky. The flying arrow was on fire.
If I know Sky King, Penny, he'll find a way to land that there flying contraption. Right now, we've got important work to do.
Hey, you mean that Trent is pulling a fraud?
Oh, sure as shooting, Penny. I smelled a rat the minute I laid eyes on him. That's why I brought Trent's diamond samples with me. Check them against any diamond-bearing rocks we might find here in the mine.
Oh, but if those diamonds are real, why would Trent give them to you to hold?
To fool the investors, Penny. Hey, it's not a bad deal. $60,000 exchanged for several hundred thousand dollars from selling stock that ain't worth a wooden nickel. Sky must be taking care of that polecat, Trent. Gives us time to finish here.
Hey, you mean we're going down there?
Have to. It's the only shaft here not caved in. Come on, Penny. You hold the light.
Yeah. Can't we take this rail car down?
No. And the dirt looks loose, too. We don't want a heavy rail car causing a cave-in.
Oh, but shouldn't we help Sky?
Oh, child, I've known Sky King a lot longer than you have, and I've never seen that day yet when he couldn't take care of himself. Let's keep moving down.
Two more moves, Sky. We'll have them on the open bluff, and we'll be behind the rocks.
No. No, I think they've caught on to our tactics. Stay here, Tupper, and signal Jim to pepper away from where he is. I'm going up around him.
But, Sky, behind them is open clearing. They'll see you.
Trent's placed blocks of wood up there, so it'll look from the air like people are working on the bluff. I'll come behind one of those blocks.
Okay, but be careful.
I will. Now start banging away at them so they'll stay down while I go up. And wait for my signal before you and Jim move on.
All right, wise guys. Here's a little payment for shooting down the flying arrow.
Oh, gee, but this is spooky. With all that loose dirt overhead, it must be dangerous down here.
Yeah, it is. That's one reason they quit mining here over 20 years ago. Hold that light steady, Penny. I've got to see this.
Wow. Are those diamond rocks? Gee, just look at them.
Yeah, there's diamonds in them, all right, but not diamonds like Trent was showing around for samples. These are low grade. Call them industrial diamonds.
Well, you mean to say the mine is worthless?
It ain't worth much. Industrial diamonds are used for precision instruments, like in that there watch you're wearing.
Oh.
Not enough here to make it worthwhile to work the mine.
Yeah, but where did Trent get the real diamonds he left with you?
Well, most likely he got them from a big robbery in New Mexico about 2 years ago, and we'll prove that next, now that we know this mine's a fraud. Come on, Penny, let's settle out of this mine shaft.
Not so fast, Lady Alice. You're going out of here all right, but not the way you planned.
Trent!
Don't reach for those diamond-studded six-shooters, Lady Alice. I have the draw.
Sky's on his way here. He'll fix you.
Yeah, Sky King is on the way here. Only we'll be ready for him. He won't fix anyone but himself.
That Sky from the other side. He made it. Open up, Jim.
Right. We'll show these rattlesnakes a thing or two.
Okay, I give up.
Hold it, Jim, Clipper. Put your hands up down there.
Okay, just don't shoot.
Come on, Clipper, let's move in.
Careful, Jim. I see only one man.
I'm just waiting for those other polecats to stick their heads up.
All right, where's Trent?
I don't know. He and Butch weren't back there someplace.
Who is this guy?
Well, whoever he is, he'd better tell us where Trent has gone and tell us quick.
That's all I know. I fly the plane for Trent sometimes. Honest, mister, give me a break.
Yeah, we'll give you a break, all right. Here, Clipper, some rope I took from the Songbird. Tie him up good.
Right.
That's the idea.
There. That ought to hold him for a while.
Good. Now let's go into Rocky Bluff to find Penny and Lady Alice before Trent does. If he hasn't found them already.
Boss, they're coming. King and his pals right across the clearing for the mine shaft.
Good.
Let him come.
What are you planning, you no good lizard?
Easy, Lady Alice. Watch your blood pressure. We're not going to hurt him.
Well, you better not.
Come on. Into this cove here. Pass here. We push these rocks supporting the big slab, and down it goes across the shaft. King will never get out.
Not one word out of either of you, but everyone gets hurt.
Lady Alice, what are we going to do?
There ain't nothing we can do now, child. Not with that gun pointing at us. But I want you to know, Trent, you are under arrest.
Get a load of the Lady Sheriff, Trent. She's arresting us.
Quiet. Here they come. Remember one word out either. They get mowed down right where they stand.
I only see two of them.
Old man's missing. Probably left him at the top of the shaft. We'll take care of him later.
Quiet.
You think they're down here, Sky?
Well, they must be. Careful around this bend here.
Can't get any lower.
It's funny. Shouldn't be far from the bottom of the shaft.
Not a sound or a light anyplace.
Wow. What was that, Sky?
Come on. Let's go back and see.
Sounded like it was right around this bend here.
Yeah.
Golly!
A slab of rock. Right across the shaft.
Sky. Sky. We're trapped down here.
Sky. Sky. What in tarnation was all that racket down there?
Put your hands up, old man.
What? Trent.
I'll take that gun.
Penny. Lady Alice, what happened?
They caught us down in the shaft, Jim, and they've trapped Sky and Clipper down there with a big slab of rock.
Why, that dirty varmint child.
You'll just stay where you are, old man.
Don't worry, Jim. Someday we'll catch up with these crooks and we'll give them a real lesson in justice.
Well, Trent, we've got the diamonds and King's not going anyplace. What will we do with this kid, the old lady, and the old guy?
Don't you call me an old lady, you string bean with ears.
Quiet, you. We'll make it look like an accident, Butch. This old rail car here. If we released a brake, gave it a push down the shaft, what would happen?
Happen? Well, it'd be traveling a mile a minute before it hit that slab of rock in the shaft. Anyone can figure that.
Yeah, anyone can. Come on, folks. In that rail car, quick.
Why, you...
Don't, Jim. He's got a gun.
Get in there, all of you.
You'll pay for this sooner than you think, Trent.
More likely we'll collect, Lady Alice. Collect lots more money from the ranchers to invest in Rocky Bluff. Here, Butch.
Yeah.
Hold the diamonds and keep them covered while I give this car just the push it needs.
Let's jump.
No, no, girl. Sides of the shaft are too close.
Then we're going too fast to jump.
But when we hit that rock, we'll push it right through on top of Sky and Clipper.
Penny, Lady Alice, get behind me. At least you'll have some protection.
But, Jim, we'll hit that slab of rock going over 50 miles an hour. We'll all be killed.
Thank you.
You know, gang, there's always one kid in every crowd who can keep going all day long like a hot rod racing car roaring down the track with the throttle wide open. And there's really no secret about it either. All that you need to be one of the top-notch kids in any crowd is lots of energy. And Peter Pan peanut butter gives you the kind of body-building energy that you need. Why, sure, every time that you bite into a wonderful-tasting Peter Pan sandwich, you're loading up on the extra strength, the extra pep that makes you shine in sports and schoolwork, too. You're getting the kind of extra food energy that lets you go at full speed all day long. And another reason why Peter Pan peanut butter is America's favorite is just that it tastes of doggone downright delicious. It's got all of that real rich, nutty flavor of fresh roasted peanuts. It's so smooth, it spreads like magic. So fresh, it melts in your mouth. And Peter Pan's special jar top seals that flavor in, so it stays fresh and smooth right down to the last bit in the jar. Yep, the best way to make sure of having plenty of energy is to make sure there's plenty of Peter Pan peanut butter in your pantry. There's smooth Peter Pan in the red top jar and Peter Pan crunchy peanut butter in the green top jar. So, why not ask your mom right now to bring you home a jar of Peter Pan tomorrow, huh? It's America's favorite peanut butter. And now back to Sky King and the Lady Sheriff. Jim, Penny, and Lady Alice, the fabulous Lady Sheriff of the Old West, are forced into a rail car on Rocky Bluff and are sent hurtling down a diamond mine shaft by Bruce Trent, a man working a diamond fraud on the ranches of Flint Ridge County. Meantime, at the bottom of the tunnel, Sky and Clipper are trapped behind a huge slab of rock that Trent has used to block the shaft.
Sky, what's that?
Hey, sounds like a rail car coming down those old tracks, Clipper.
Sky!
Listen.
Sky, get away from that rock!
Sky, that's Penny.
She's in that rail car. Jim and Lady Alice are probably with her.
They'll be killed.
And the rock will be pushed back to crush us.
Get away from that rock, Sky!
Get back, Sky, get back!
Jump and junipers, they're almost here.
Clipper, quick, use your gun. Shoot over this rock into that soft dirt on the ceiling of the shaft.
But, Sky, another 30 seconds.
Do as I say, Clipper. We might knock down that part of the ceiling. That way the car will have a cushion before it hits the rock. Start shooting.
Oh, Sky, what happened?
I think it worked, Clipper. I've moved the rock some. I think we can slip by now. There.
But where are these guys?
Oh, you're all right, Jim. Here's Lady Alice and Penny.
I knew you'd come through, Sky, somehow.
Oh, I've never been so thankful for dirt in all my life.
Me too. Might never wash it off. How did you do it, Sky?
We shot at the soft dirt in the ceiling. It fell.
Them varmints are getting away, Sky. And the diamonds they got were taken in a robbery in New Mexico 2 years ago. I'm sure of it.
That's all I wanted to hear, Lady Alice. Come on, Clipper. Let's get after them.
How are we going to stop them, Sky? With our six shooters?
No, we'll stop them with the Songbird.
They're starting their takeoff. You're taxiing right toward them.
Hang on, Clipper.
We're going to hit him.
Not if I know Trent's courage. He'll turn away into the bluff.
Look out, Sky. We're going to hit him. They turned. Trent turned into the bluff.
Oh, I thought he would, but it was a pretty close squeak.
Look, Lady Alice, Jim, and Penny are over by Trent's plane. Huh? And Lady Alice has those diamond-studded six-shooters out.
She sure has, Clipper. And Lady Alice never misses. Trent won't cause any more trouble. Hang on. We're landing. Lady Alice, have your prisoners in tow?
Yep, I got them, Sky. Thanks to you. Neat bit of nerve work I seen there. Feel years older just watching it, which makes me near 100.
Oh, Sky, you came so close to Trent's plane that I closed my eyes.
Mine ain't open yet.
Well, Trent and Butch better keep their eyes open and see all the free world they can while they can. Because for the next 30 years, all they're going to see is four prison walls.
So once again, Sky King wins out in his constant fight for justice. All of the grocers of America who sell Peter Pan peanut butter help make this program possible. Peter Pan outsells all others. It's America's favorite. Right, Peter Pan?
Right, Mike. Tell your mom to look for me in my bright green dress on the Peter Pan peanut butter jar.
Sky King, written by Dick Stenger, Sidney Renthal, and Fran Van Hartesveld, features Earl Nightingale, Burl Vaughn, Jack Bibbins. Mike Wallace speaking. Listen Tuesday to Sky King. And the Mark of El Diablo. Kids, if you live in a television city, check your newspaper this weekend for time and station of the new Peter Pan television show for kids, Peter Pan's Magic Slate. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
From about 1948, The Lady Sheriff, an episode of Sky King with Burl Vaughn and Earl Nightingale, the stars. Speaking of stars, they'll come out in a moment in the forms of Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert with Lux Radio Theater's production of It Happened One Night. Stay right there. We'll have it in a moment as old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It made a great movie, and actually it's not bad as radio either. Let's face it, the plot is not exactly convoluted so that you can trim it pretty easily down to, well, whatever length you need for radio purposes. And that's what Lux Radio Theater did for a broadcast of March 19, 1939. They took the 1934 Frank Capra classic. It was already a classic by then, I suppose. And turned it into good radio fare. Sure, you miss some of the vocal gags, and they have to explain some of the visuals, too. But there's still a lot to work with here, and a lot of talent and a great story, including hitchhiking lessons and the famous Walls of Jericho in It Happened One Night.
From Hollywood, California, the Lux Radio Theater presents Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert in It Happened One Night with Walter Connolly and Roscoe Carnes.
A bus terminal in Miami, Florida. Passengers are milling about the ticket office, crowding around the newsstand, fighting for places at the lunch counter. In a telephone booth at the far end of the station, Peter Warren, a news reporter, has just put through a long-distance call to his paper.
Hello. Is this the New York Globe?
Yes, sir.
Well, this is Peter Warren talking. I want to speak to Harry Gordon right away.
Who?
Gordon, the managing editor.
Oh, one moment, please.
Fire me, huh? I'll show him the big baboon.
Hello,
Gordon?
Yeah?
This is Peter Warren.
Well, what of it?
Say, what's all this about my being fired?
You got my wire, didn't you?
Sure, but...
Well, it goes. You're through.
What for?
You know what for. Go on home and sleep it off.
What? Hey, listen here, monkey face. I'm the best news hound your filthy scandal sheet ever had.
Don't make me laugh. What were you doing last night?
None of your... I sent you my copy.
Sure. All about the bathing beauties of Miami Beach. It was lovely. But did you know that Ellie Andrews disappeared last night from her father's yacht?
What?
Ellie Andrews. She disappeared. Do you know that?
No.
Well, that's why you're fired.
Hey, wait! Hello!
No.
What's waiting for Palm Beach, Savannah, Jacksonville, Philadelphia, New York?
Hey, all, get your newspapers. Read all about it. Well, the air runs away. Hey, all, read all about it.
Hey, boy.
Yes, I want a paper.
What's the headline?
Oh, that's about a society girl. Her name's Ellie Andrews. She just ran away from her old man's yacht.
Ellie Andrews, the banker's daughter, huh?
Yeah. You want a paper, mister?
Hey, what'd she run away for?
Oh, I don't know. She wants to marry some aviator guy, and her old man don't want it to, see? So she runs away. And then the old man, Hey, look, why don't you buy a paper? You can read the whole thing for 3 cents.
Who, me? I never read newspapers.
Well, for crying
out... Here's a dime. Buy yourself an automobile.
Okay, thanks, mister.
Hey, wait a minute. Where do I get the bus in New York?
Right outside the terminal.
Thanks.
Hey, yo, get your paper here. Read all about it.
Hey, driver, does this bus go to New York?
There's a sign on the front. Can't you raise?
Sorry, but I never got past the fourth grade. Where do I sit?
That don't worry me any.
Okay. If you'll be good enough to move this pile of newspapers, I'll take the seat here.
Move them yourself.
Fine.
Hey, wait a minute. What do you think you're doing?
Huh?
The papers. What's the idea of throwing them out?
Oh, the papers. You know, that's a long story, my friend. I never did like the idea of sitting on newspapers. I did it once and all the headlines came off of my white trousers.
You?
No, on the level. It actually happened. Nobody bought a newspaper that day. They just followed me around, read the news off the seat of my pants.
Ah, fresh guy, huh? What you need's a good sock on the nose.
Now, listen, partner. You may not like my nose, but I do. I always wear it out in the open, where if anybody wants to take a sock at it, they can do it.
Oh, yeah?
Now, that's a brilliant answer. Why didn't I think of it? Our conversation could have been over long ago.
Oh, yeah?
If you keep that up, we're not going to get anywhere.
Oh, yeah?
You got me.
Pardon me, I want to get by.
Yeah, come on through. This is liable to last all night.
Don't mind me. Thank you.
Hey, wait, you can't sit there. That's my seat.
I beg your pardon?
Listen, I'm putting up a stiff battle for that seat, so if it's just the same to you, scram.
Driver, are these seats reserved?
First come, first served.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, driver. These seats accommodate two people, don't they?
Well, maybe they do, and maybe they don't.
Thanks. Move over, sister.
Ow.
This is a maybe they do.
Well.
There. Comfortable?
Oh, very.
That's good. There's nothing like being comfortable when you have 2,000 miles to... Say, haven't I seen you someplace before?
I'm afraid not.
Funny, but I think I have. You ever had your picture in a newspaper?
Never.
Not even on the society page? Oh, well, my mistake. I could have almost sworn I've seen you before.
Really? Well, perhaps it was the livestock show in Chattanooga. I often go there with my old maid aunt from the country. We're simply mad about the merry-go-round.
Port!
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, that's all right. You have a good sleep?
Oh, fine, thank you. Everybody's gone. Where are we?
Jacksonville. We just got in. We change buses here and pull out in half an hour.
Oh, it was so foolish of me to fall asleep on your shoulder like that. Why didn't you push me away?
Oh, I hated to wake you up. You look kind of pretty asleep. How about some breakfast?
Oh, no, thank you. I never eat on a bus.
You mean you never travel on a bus?
I beg your pardon?
Let it go. But you ought to eat something. You got to watch out for your health, you know.
Thank you. I can take care of myself. Excuse me, please. I'm getting out.
Sit down. I want to talk to you.
Oh, do you?
You'll never get away with it, Miss Andrews.
What are you talking about?
I said you'd never get away with it. Your father will stop you before you get halfway to New York.
You must have me confused with someone else.
Quit kidding. It's all over the front page. You know, I've always been curious to know what kind of a girl would want to marry a front-page aviator like King Wesley. Take my advice and grab the next bus back to Miami. That guy's a phony.
I didn't ask for your advice.
No, that's right, you didn't. Well, I guess I'll step out and send a telegram.
No, wait. You're not going to notify my father, are you?
What for?
You could probably get some money out of him.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Now, listen. If you'll promise not to do it, I'll pay you. I'll pay you as much as he will. You won't gain anything by giving me away as long as I'm willing to make it worth your while. And I will. Just as soon as I get to New York, I'll pay you.
Cut it.
What?
I said cut it. You know, I had you pegged right from the start. You're the spoiled brat of a rich father. The only way you can get anything is to buy it. Now you're in a jam and all you think of is your money. It never fails, does it?
But
Ever heard you hear of the word humility? No, you wouldn't. I guess it never occurred to you to just say, please, mister, I'm in trouble. Will you help me? No, that'd bring you down off your high horse for a minute. Well, let me tell you something. Maybe it'll take a load off your mind. You don't have to worry about me. I'm not interested in your money or your problems. You, King Wesley, your father, you're all a lot of hooey to me. So long, Miss Andrews.
I hiya, sister. All alone, I'll keep you company.
I'm sorry, you can't sit here. This
My name's Shapley. Might as well get acquainted. It's going to be a long trip. Gets tiresome later on, especially for somebody like you. You look like you've got class. Yes, sir, with a capital K. Well, I'm the guy that knows class when he sees it. Believe you me. Ask any of the boys, they'll tell you. Shapley sure knows how to pick 'em. Yes, sir, Shapley's the name, and Shapley's the way I like 'em. Say, what's the matter, sister? You ain't saying much.
Seems to me you're doing excellently without my assistance.
That's pretty good. It seems to me you're doing excellently without my assistance. Well, shut my big, nasty mouth. Looks like you're one up on me. You know, there's nothing I like better than to meet a high-class mama that can snap them back at you. Yes, sir. You're just my type. Believe you me, sister, I could go for you in a big way. Fun on the side, Shapley, they call me. And the accent's on the fun. Believe you me.
Believe you me. You bore me to distraction.
Looks like you're two up on me now.
Hey, you.
Huh?
There's a seat over there for you.
What's the idea?
I'd like to sit next to my wife, if you don't mind.
Your wife?
Yeah. Come on, come on.
Oh, yeah, sure, Doc. Sure, Doc. I was just trying to make things pleasant for her. I didn't know it was your wife. You understand what I mean, don't you?
If you'll promise not to snap my head off, I'd like to thank you.
Yeah, forget it. I didn't do it for you. His voice was getting on my nerves. Say, your clothes are soaking wet. Did you get caught in that shower back at the last stop?
Yes. It was a cool shower, too.
Here, take my coat and put it around you.
No.
Well, sure. Go ahead. You're as helpless as a baby.
Thank you.
How'd you happen to get caught in it anyhow?
Well, those things do happen, don't they? I just ran into the terminal to buy a box of candy and...
Candy? Are you crazy?
What do you mean?
Let me see your purse.
Now, please, give me my purse.
Just as I thought. $1.60. Say, how do you expect to get to New York if you waste your money on candy?
That's none of your business.
You're on a budget from now on. Here's your purse. I'll keep your money.
Now, just a minute.
Shut up. From now on, I'm the boss. Hey, driver, what's the matter?
There's a sign there. It says the bridge at Dawson's been washed out. We might as well put up here for the night.
But where are we?
Dyke's Auto Camp. They got cabins here.
No chance of getting through, huh?
Not tonight.
That's enough for me. Come on, Brad.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. We're stopping here for the night. Let's go.
Here's your cabin, Mr. Warren.
This one here?
Yes, sir.
Come on, kid. This is it.
Oh, I'm dripping.
Well, good night. I hope you and your husband rest comfortably, Mrs. Warren.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Well, go on in. What are you going to do? Stay out here in the rain all night?
Oh, darn clever, these Armenians.
Yeah, it's a gift.
I just had the unpleasant sensation of hearing you referred to as my husband.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you about that. I registered as Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, you did? You know, compared to you, my friend Shapley's an amateur. Now, just whatever gave you the idea I'd stand for this?
Hey, now, wait a minute. Let's get this straightened out right now. If you're nursing any silly notion that I'm interested in you, forget it. You're just a headline to me.
A headline? You're not a newspaper man, are you?
Chalk one up for your side. Now, listen. You want to get to your fiancé, King Wesley, in New York, don't you? All right. I'm here to help you. What I want is your story. Exclusive. A day-to-day account. All about your mad flight to happiness. I need that story. Just between you and me, I've got to have it.
Hmm. Isn't that just too cute? There's a brain behind that face of yours, isn't there? You've got everything nicely figured out for yourself. Even including this.
This? Oh, you mean the Mr. and Mrs. business. Well, that's a matter of simple mathematics. These cabins cost $2 a night. And I'm sorry to inform you, wifey dear, that the family purse won't stand for our having separate establishments. You understand?
Yes, I guess so.
Smart girl. And now we come to the problem of retiring for the night. Which of these beds do you prefer? That one? Take it.
Thanks. Now that the popularity contest is over, what happens next?
Oh, simple. Give me the clothesline over there. Thank you. Now we tie up one end of it here on the wall, like this. Pretty knot, don't you think?
About average.
The other end goes over this nail, and we tie it up on the opposite wall. So, that makes a clothesline extending from wall A to wall B, and passing exactly between beds X and Y. Then we take the blanket, G, and place it over the clothesline, A, B, so that you in bed X will not be troubled with the disturbing sight of me in bed Y. Do you follow me?
I suppose that makes everything all right.
I hope it does. I like privacy when I retire.
Hence, the walls of Jericho. Maybe not as thick as the ones that Joshua blew down with his trumpet, but it's a lot safer. You see, I have no trumpet.
Well, now that is a relief.
And to show you my heart's in the right place, I'll give you my best pair of pajamas. Here.
Thanks.
Now, do you mind joining the Israelites on the other side of the wall?
I think it might be better. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's the stuff, Brett. Don't be worried. The walls of Jericho will protect you.
Would you mind putting out the light?
Oh, not at all. Turning in?
Mm-hmm.
Say, would you mind taking those things of yours off the walls of Jericho?
Oh, I'm sorry. How's that?
better. It's nice, isn't it? Lying here and listening to the rain.
By the way, what's your name?
What's that?
Who are you?
Me? Oh, I'm the whippoorwill that cries in the night. I'm the soft morning breeze that caresses your lovely face.
You've got a name, haven't you?
Yeah, I got a name. Peter Warren.
Peter Warren? I don't like it.
Don't let it bother you. You're giving it back to me in the morning.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Warren.
Pleasure's all mine, Mrs. Warren.
Good night.
Good night.
It's early the following morning. In the tourist cabin, Peter is setting the table for breakfast as Ellie returns from the showers.
Hello.
Morning, wifey. About time you got back.
Oh, I met some very interesting women at the showers. We got to chatting about this and that. You know how time flies.
Mm-hmm. Come on, sit down. Breakfast all ready.
How nice. Scrambled egg.
Egg. One egg, one donut, black coffee. That's your ration until lunch. Any complaints?
Nope, no complaints.
That's nice for a change. Donut?
Thanks. You think this whole business is silly, don't you? I mean running away and everything.
No, it's too good a story.
Yes, you do. You think I'm a fool and a spoiled brat. Perhaps I am, although I don't see how I can be. People who are spoiled are accustomed to having their own way. I never have. I've always been told what to do and how to do it and where and with whom. Nurses, governesses, chaperones, even bodyguards. Oh, it's been a lot of fun.
One consolation, you can never be lonesome.
It had its moments. It got to be a sort of a game to try and outwit father's detectives. I did once. Actually went shopping without a bodyguard. It was swell. I felt absolutely immoral. But it didn't last long. They caught up with me in a department store. I was so mad, I ran out the back way and jumped into the first car I saw. Guess who was in it?
Santa Claus.
King Westley was in it.
Is that how you met him?
Mm-hmm. We rode around all afternoon. Father was frantic. By 6 o'clock, he was having all the rivers dragged.
I can see it. Say, where did you learn to dunk? In finishing school?
Oh, now don't you start telling me I shouldn't dunk.
Of course you shouldn't. You don't know how to do it. Dunking's an art. Don't let it soak so long. A dip and plop into your mouth. If you let it soak so long, it'll get soft and fall off. It's all a matter of timing. I ought to write a book on it.
Thanks, Professor.
This goes to show you. 20 minions and you don't know how to dunk.
I change places with a plumber's daughter any day.
Shh.
What's the matter?
Shut up. Somebody's outside.
Now, how do I know who you are? I never saw you before. You can't go around bothering my tenants. Besides, how do I know you're a detective?
Oh, show him your credentials, Mac.
Detectives?
Well, that's Father at work. Peter, what'll I do? Maybe I can jump out of the window. They wouldn't see me.
Shh. Come here and get yourself all mussed up. Push your hair down over your eyes. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I got a letter from Aunt Bella last week. She says if we don't stop over at Wilkes-Barre, she'll never forgive us.
What are you talking about?
What's the difference? Say something.
Oh, I
see. I guess I'll write to Aunt Bella today.
Yes, I would if I was you. Letters are always cheering to invalids.
Yeah, she says she's got the hay fever again.
You don't say.
Excuse me.
Oh, look, a man, darling.
I want to see you, miss. What's your name?
Are you addressing me?
Yeah, what's your name?
Hey, wait a minute. That's my wife you're talking to. What do you want, anyway?
We're looking for somebody.
Yeah? Well, look your head off, only don't come busting in here. This ain't a public park. I, got a notion to take a sock at you.
Oh, take it easy, son. Take it easy.
They're detectives, Mr. Warren.
I don't care if they're the whole police department. They can't come fussing in here and shooting questions at my wife.
And don't get so excited, Peter. They just asked a civil question.
Oh, is that so? Say, how many times do I have to tell you to stop butting in when I'm having an argument?
Oh, you don't have to lose your temper.
Just a minute. You don't have to lose your temper. Okay. That's what you said the other time, too. Every time I try to protect you.
Oh, keep quiet.
I won't keep quiet. Hey, you're just like your old man. Once a plumber's daughter, always a plumber's daughter. Ready an ounce of brains in your whole family.
Oh, Peter, why you got far enough? I won't stand here and be insulted like this.
Oh, shut up.
Oh,
shut up.
No,
you see what you've done. You've disturbed my guests.
Yeah, what do you mean by it anyway?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Warren, but you see, we got to check up on everyone. We're looking for a girl by the name Ellen Andrews, daughter of the Wall Street King.
Yeah, well, it's too bad you're not looking for the daughter of a plumber. Quit falling.
I'm sorry, folks. My mistake.
There, now, didn't I tell you there was a perfectly nice marriage?
Well, hold on.
Are they gone?
Yeah, they're gone.
Peter.
Yes?
Peter, wake up.
What do you want? Hey, can't you see I'm trying to get some sleep?
Shapley's back with us. Did you know that?
Sure, what about it?
Look at him. He's got one of those newspapers with my picture in it. Oh, Peter, I'm afraid.
What are you afraid of? Haven't you still got me with you? Hey, where did Shapley get that paper?
We stopped a few miles back while you were sleeping. He must have got it there.
Well, it's too late to do anything now.
Oh, he's looking at me again. Do you think he recognizes me, Peter?
We'll find out soon enough. He couldn't keep a thing like that quiet if he cut his tongue out. Just sit tight and let things happen.
But what will we do?
Wait till the next stop. I'll get him into a conversation outside, and if he suspects anything, well, we'll see. Hello, Mr. Shapley.
Hello. Nice to get out and stretch your legs, ain't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I see you got a paper there.
That's right. Maybe you'd like to take a look at it.
Yeah, I don't mind if I do.
Well, hold it here in the headlights, and you can read while you're waiting. Traveling like this, you sort of lose track of what's going on in the world. Take that story there, for instance, about Ellen Andrews. If I was to see that dame, you know what I'd do?
No. What?
I'd go 50-50 with you.
Why?
Because I don't believe in hogging it all, see? A bird that figures that way always ends up behind the eight ball, is what I always say.
What's in your mind?
5 G's or I crab the works.
5 G's, huh?
You heard me.
Yeah. You know, it's a lucky thing my running into you. You're just the man I need.
You made no mistake, believe you me.
You pack a gap?
Huh?
A gat, a rod. Got any fireworks on you?
Why, but no.
Well, it's all right anyway. I got a couple of machine guns in my suitcase. I'll let you have one of them. May have a little trouble up north. May have to shoot it out with the cops.
Huh?
If you come through all right, these 5 G's are as good as in the bag.
Yeah, but...
Of course, I'll have to talk with the killer, see that he takes care of you.
The killer?
Yeah, the big boy, the boss of the outfit.
Say, you're not kidnapping her, are you?
What else, stupid? Say, you don't think we're after that penny ante reward, do you? $10,000? Chicken feed.
Well, pardon me, mister. I guess I don't want that dough after all.
Say, listen, you're in on this thing and you're staying in. Get me? You know too much.
Yeah, but I won't say anything. Honest, I won't.
How do I know that? Say, I got a good notion to plug you right now.
Oh, no. No, you can trust me, mister. I'll keep my mouth shut. My wife and my kids.
What's your name?
Oscar Shapley.
Where do you live?
Orange, New Jersey.
Got a couple of kids, huh?
Yes, sir. They're just babies. A little golden-haired girl.
You ever hear of Bugs Dooley?
Bugs Dooley?
He was a nice guy, just like you. But he made a mistake one day, got a little too talkative. You know what happened to his kids?
No.
Well, I can't tell you. But when Bugs heard about it, he blew his brains out.
Oh, gee, that was terrible.
Yeah. Now beat it.
Thanks, mister, thanks. Can I go back now?
To the bus? Say, what do you think I am, crazy? You're walking, Z.
Yes, sir. Yes,
come
sir.
Come on, scram.
Sure. Anything you say, mister. You ain't going to shoot me in the back, are you?
If you don't beat it.
I'll go.
All right, come on. Get going.
All right, folks, all aboard.
Hey, wait a minute, driver.
Come on, get in.
Never mind, we're getting off here. Me and the young lady.
What's that?
Come on, Brad.
What's the matter?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. Here, give me your hand.
Got your suitcase?
Yeah, thanks.
Well, now that we're stranded in the middle of a country road in the dead of night, maybe you'd let me in on the big secret. What's the idea?
The idea? We're going to take a little walk, Brat. Mr. Shapley may shoot off his mouth after all.
Well, where are we going to walk to?
Next town, wherever that is. Come on, pick him up and lay him down. We've got a long way to go.
How long does this cross-country hike keep up? My feet are killing me.
Stop here if you want.
Here? Where are we?
Virginia.
Why, I know, but where?
I can't say for sure right now, but from the looks of that hay, Rick, I guess we're on somebody's farm.
Where's the farmhouse?
What difference does that make?
You don't mean we're going to sleep out here in the open, do you?
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to give a fairly good imitation of it.
Peter.
What?
I'm awfully hungry.
Oh, that's just your imagination.
No, it isn't. I'm hungry and scared.
You can't be hungry and scared both at the same time.
Well, I am.
If you're scared, it scares the hunger out of you.
Not if you're more hungry than scared.
Yeah, all right. You win. Now, let's forget about it.
I can't. I'm hungry.
Holy smokes. Why did I ever get mixed up with you? If I had any sense, I'd be in New York by this time.
What about your big story?
Taking a dame back to her fiancé. I turned out to be a prize sucker, all right. Here, your bed's all ready. Come on.
You mean I'm supposed to sleep on that hay?
That's the idea.
Oh, it's all crackly.
Oh, shut up and go to sleep. I'm sick and tired of listening to a lot of complaints.
You know, you're becoming awfully disagreeable lately. You just snap my head off every time I open my mouth. If being with me is so distasteful to you, you can leave. You can leave any time you see fit. Nobody's holding you here. I can get along. I can get along very nicely without you. Peter, are you listening? I said I can get along very nicely. Oh, Peter? Peter? Where are you? Oh, Peter! Peter!
Hey, what's the matter? Hey, what are you yelling about?
Oh, Peter, I was so worried.
What got into you? I was only gone a minute. I went to try to find you something to eat.
I know, but...
Well, here. Here's a watermelon. I swiped it in the next field.
I don't want it now.
Well, I thought you said you were hungry.
I was, but...
But what?
I was so scared it... Scared the hunger right out of me.
Holy jumping catfish. You'd drive a guy crazy.
I guess...
Shut up.
I was only going to say, I guess you're right.
You're darn tootin' I'm right. Now go to sleep and forget about everything.
Yes, Peter. Peter.
What?
What are you thinking about?
By a strange coincidence, I was thinking of you.
Really?
Yeah. I was wondering what makes dames like you so dizzy. What a morning. Look at the sun. Look at those fields.
Yes, look at my shoes. This dirt road is certainly hard on leather. By the way, what did you say we were supposed to be doing?
Hitchhiking.
Oh, you've given me a very good example of the hiking. Where does the hitching come in?
A little early yet. No cars out.
If it's all the same to you, I'm going to sit right down here and wait until they come.
Suit yourself.
I intend to. Peter... Suppose nobody stops for us.
Oh, they'll stop all right. It's all a matter of knowing how to hail them.
You're an expert, I suppose.
I'm going to write a book about it. Call it The Hitchhiker's Hail.
There's no end to your accomplishment, is there?
Oh, you think it's simple, huh?
No.
Well, it is. It's all in the old thumb, see? Now, here, some people do it like this. Kind of a half wave and half point with a thumb. Drooping across the palm. It's all wrong. Too indefinite. Never get any place.
Oh, the poor thing.
Yeah, but this old thumb never fails. Now, take number one, for instance. Elbow close to the side, thumb rigid, and parallel to the right shoulder. Then a short, jerky movement, just the hand and wrist, like this. Shows you independence. You don't care whether they stop or not. You got money in your pocket, see?
Clever.
Yeah, but number two, that's a little wider movement from the elbow. The thumb describing a graceful arc from shoulder to waistline. A smile goes with it, like this. See? Means you got a brand new story about...
You figured that all out by yourself, huh?
Ah, that's nothing. Number three, that's a pit. Yeah, that's the pitiful one, you know. When you're broke and hungry and everything looks black.
Is that so?
Yeah. Shoulders saggy, mouth down, chin drooping. It's a long, sweeping movement of the whole arm, like this. You got to follow through, though.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, but it's no good if you haven't got a long face to go with it.
Oh, Peter, here comes the car.
Yeah, okay. Now watch me. I'm going to use number one. Keep your eye on that thumb, baby, and watch what happens.
Mm-hmm. I've still got my eye on the thumb.
Something must have gone wrong. I'll try number two this time. Hey, you!
Maybe he doesn't appreciate genius.
Let's try this, baby. Maybe number two won't work in us out. Going up, mister? I'll try number three the next time.
When you get to 100, wake me up, will you?
I don't think I'll write that book after all.
Oh, think of all the fun you had. Do you mind if I try the next one?
You? Oh, don't make me laugh.
Oh, you're such a smart aleck. Nobody knows anything but you. I'll stop this car and I won't use my thumb.
What are you going to do?
It's a system all my own. Left hand gracefully on left hip, head back and incline gently in the direction of travel, eyes twinkling. It's the twinkle that does it. Step aside, please. Oh, yoo-hoo!
Hello, sister. You going my way?
Yes, thank you very much.
Well, hop right in. My name is Baker.
Oh, it's so sweet of you, Mr. Baker. Would you mind if this gentleman rode with us, too?
Oh, him?
Yeah, me.
Well, I don't like his looks any too much, sister.
Oh, that's all right. He's my uncle. He can't help looking like that. He used to be a newspaper man.
Oh, well, all right. Get in the back.
Thanks.
As I was saying, it's a system, all my own.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I think I'll write a book called The Feminine Touch, or Go Thither with a Come Hither.
Oh, shut up.
So you want a cabin for a week, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
For you and your wife?
That's right.
That'll be $875.
Sold. Which one?
Take number four and pay in advance.
Listen, mister, I don't want to talk business right now. We're tired. I'll settle up with you in the morning.
Well, all right. Night.
Good night. Come on, Brett.
What'll you tell him in the morning?
I'll think of that then.
Oh, I'm glad I can lie down for a change.
Yeah, me too. Well, we're on our last lap. Tomorrow morning, if all goes well, you'll be in the arms of your fiancé. The dope.
Mm-hmm. You'll have a great story, won't you?
Yeah. Swell.
Thanks.
Well, you certainly outsmarted your father. And I guess you ought to be happy.
Am I going to see you in New York?
Nope.
Why not?
I don't make it a policy to run around with married women.
There's no harm in your coming to see us.
Not interested.
Won't I ever see you again?
What do you want to see me for? I've served my purpose. I brought you back to King Wesley, didn't I? That's what you wanted, wasn't it?
Peter, have you ever been in love?
Me?
Yes. Have you ever thought about it at all? It seems to me you could make some girl wonderfully happy.
Sure. Sure, I've thought about it. Yeah, who hasn't? If I could ever meet the right sort of girl. Yeah, but where are you going to find her? Somebody that's real. Somebody that's alive. They don't come that way anymore. You know, I saw an island in the Pacific once. Never been able to forget it. That's where I'd like to take her. She'd have to be the sort of a girl who'd jump in the surf with me and love it as much as I did. You know, nights when you and the moon and the water all become one. And you feel you're part of something big and marvelous. Those are the only places to live. Where the stars are so close over your head that you feel you can reach up and stir them around. Sure, I've been thinking of it. Boy, if I could only find the girl who was hungry for those things.
Take me with you, Peter. Oh, please take me to your island. I want to do all those things you talked about.
You? You're crazy.
No, I'm not. I love you, Peter. Nothing else matters. We can run away. Everything will take care of itself. Please. I can't let you out of my life now. I couldn't live without you.
Ellie, you'd better go over there. Go to sleep.
Oh, you... I'm sorry.
Hey, wait a minute.
Good night, Mr. Warren.
Ellie, did you really mean that? About the island? Would you really go?
Certainly not. Do you think I'm crazy?
Yeah, I guess I did. Just for a minute.
Peter? Peter, where are you? Peter! Peter!
Good morning, Miss Warren.
Oh, good morning. Did you see Mr. Did you see my husband?
Husband? Well, he's gone.
Gone?
Yes, ma'am. Left about an hour ago.
He didn't say where?
Not a word. But I heard him calling long distance. He spoke to a Mr. Gordon at the New York Globe office. Said he had a great story and was going right into New York to see him.
I see. Where's the telephone, please?
I don't think your husband will be there yet, Mrs. Warren.
Oh, stop calling me Mrs. Warren. I'm not Mrs. Warren. I never will be Mrs. Warren. My name is Andrews. Yeah. Ellie Andrews.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
No, where's that phone?
Over there, ma'am. Right over there.
Thank you.
Think it was my fault or something. My name ain't Mrs. Warren. My name is Andrews. Andrews? Ellie Andrews. Ellie. Oh, Ma! Ma! Ma, come here quick. Ma!
I want to call New York, please. Yes, person to person. Mr. King Westley. Westley. Westley.
The thread of an accidental meeting which bound the lives of Ellie and Peter has become a tangled knot. Ellie is convinced that Peter walked out on her and has given him no chance to explain. It's a week later, the morning of Ellie's marriage to King Westley. The bride-to-be sits alone in her room, staring mournfully at her reflection in the glass. Her father knocks at the door.
Ellie. Ellie.
Yes, Dad.
May I come in?
Come in. Hello, Dad.
I knocked several times.
I'm sorry. I must have been daydreaming.
Yes. Everything's set for the wedding. Great stunt King is going to pull, creating quite a furor.
Stunt?
Yes. Landing on the lawn in an autogyro.
Oh, yes, I heard.
Yes. Personally, I think it's silly, too. You look lovely, child. Are you pleased with the gown? Ellie.
Hmm? Oh, the gown. Yes, it's nice, isn't it?
What's the matter, child? What's wrong?
Nothing.
You haven't changed your mind about King Westley, have you?
No.
Because if you have, it isn't too late. You know how I feel about him. But you gave me such a scare when I couldn't find you. You know, the old pump isn't what it used to be.
I'm sorry, Father. I wouldn't hurt you for the world.
What's the matter, child? Aren't you happy?
Oh, Dad.
I thought so. I knew there was something on your mind. Oh, there now. What's the matter? You haven't fallen in love with someone else, have you? Have you? I haven't seen you cry since you were a baby. This must be serious. Where did you meet him?
On the road.
Now, don't tell me you've fallen in love with the bus driver.
No.
Who is he?
I don't know very much about him. Except that I love him.
Well, if it's as serious as all that, we'll move heaven and earth to...
No, it's no use. He despises me.
Oh, come now.
Yes, he does. He despises everything about me. He thinks I'm spoiled and selfish and pampered and thoroughly insincere.
Ridiculous.
He doesn't think much of you either.
Oh? No?
No. He blames you for everything that's wrong with me. He says you raised me stupidly. Oh, he's marvelous.
Eh? Well, what are we going to do about it?
I don't know.
I'd like to have a talk with him.
No, it wouldn't do any good. I practically threw myself at him.
Well, under the circumstances, don't you think we ought to call off this wedding off?
No. No, I'll go through with it. What difference does it make? I'll never see Peter again.
Is that his name?
Yes, Peter.
Peter Warren?
Yes. Do you know him?
No, not exactly.
Oh, Father, you haven't heard from him, have you?
Well, this letter came this morning addressed to me.
From Peter?
Yes. Here you are.
Well, dear sir, as your daughter has probably forgotten to tell you, that there's a little financial matter connected with her safe return to your indulgent arms that I would appreciate your settling with me at your earliest convenience. Yours truly, Peter Warren. Oh. Well, I guess that was his only interest in me, wasn't it? The reward, $10,000.
I'm sorry you read it.
Are you going to see him?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I sent word to him to come out here this afternoon. I suppose he'll show up soon.
Of course he will. Well, pay him off. He's entitled to it. He did an excellent job. He kept me thoroughly entertained. It's worth every penny he gets.
Sit down, Mr. Warren.
Thanks.
I was surprised to get your note. My daughter hadn't told me anything about you, about your helping her.
That's typical of your daughter. Takes all those things for granted.
I've discussed the matter with her since hearing from you, and she thinks you're entitled to anything you can get.
Oh, she does, huh? Now, isn't that sweet of her? Well, I've got it all itemized.
May I see the statement, please? Thank you. Cash outlay, $8.60. Top coat, $15. Suitcase, $7.50. Hat, $4. Three shirts, $4.50. Total, $39.60. All the above items had to be hocked to provide food and shelter.
And I sold some shorts and socks, too. But I'm throwing them in.
Yes, I know, but...
Say, what's the matter? Isn't it cheap enough? A trip like that would cost you $1,000, maybe more.
Now, let me get this straight. You want $39.60 in addition to the $10,000.
What $10,000?
Why, the reward.
Who said anything about a reward? All I want is $39.60. If you give me a check for it, I'll get out of this joint. Gives me the jitters.
You're a peculiar chap.
We'll go into that some other time.
The average man would go after the reward. All you seem to
Listen, did anyone ever make a sucker out of you? This is a matter of principle, something you probably wouldn't understand. But when anybody takes me for a buggy ride, I don't like the idea of having to pay for the privilege.
Were you taken for a buggy ride?
With all the trimming.
Well, my daughter seems to think she was on that ride, too. She thinks you walked out on her.
Listen, your daughter can think anything she wants. I went to New York to raise a little dough for your daughter so she could get out on that tropical island. And what do I get?
What tropical island?
Oh, none of your... When I come back to get her, she skipped. That's great, that is.
Now, wait a minute.
What about my dough? Do I get it or don't I?
Certainly.
Thank you.
But I'd like to ask you one question. Do you love my daughter?
Any guy that had fallen in love with your daughter ought to have his head examined.
That's an evasion. Do you love her?
A normal human being couldn't live under the same roof with her without going nutty. She's my idea of
nothing. I asked you a simple question. Do you love her?
Yes! Don't hold that against me. I'm a little screwy myself.
Well, well, well. Look who's here.
Hello. I was hoping I wouldn't have to bump into you.
Really? I hope you got your money.
You bet I did.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Same to you.
Ellie, dear.
Stay around and watch the fun. King's going to drop down out of the skies any minute now on his favorite gyro. You'll enjoy it immensely.
I would, but I've got a weak stomach. Goodbye, Miss Andrew.
Pleasant fellow, isn't he?
Ellie, dear, you shouldn't have talked to him like you did. He's a really fine boy. We had quite a conversation.
I'm not interested.
Now, see here, Ellie.
I tell you, I'm not interested. I don't want to hear another word about him.
What on earth is that?
King, I guess. Landing on the lawn in his gyro.
Seems to be creating quite a lot of excitement among the guests. Well, Ellie?
Come on, Dad. Let's go down and get it over with.
King is waiting at the altar. All right. Take my arm. Let's go. You know, Ellie, you're a sucker to go through with this. That guy, Warren, is okay.
Please, Dad.
He is. He didn't want the reward. All he asked for was $39.60 that he spent on you.
What?
Sure. He loves you, Ellie.
How do you know?
He told me so.
Oh, Daddy. Oh. Well, it's too late now.
Is it? You don't want to be married to a mug like Wesley. I can buy him off for a pot of gold. And you can make an old man happy. Pete Warren is a swell guy.
Oh, please don't.
If you should change your mind, your car's waiting at the back gate. What do you say, Ellie? Still got a few seconds.
Oh, Dad.
Is it Pete? Or is it this dumb cluck of an aviator?
It's Pete.
Hooray!
Betty, quick, kiss me.
Goodbye, Ellie.
Goodbye.
Run, Ellie. Run. Go on, Ellie. Go on. They'll never catch you. Go on. Go on.
Peter.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do with the marriage certificate? I can't find it anyplace.
Don't worry, Brad. It's safe and sound in my inside pocket.
Oh, I was getting scared again.
You afraid I was going to back out?
It's too late now, Mr. Warren. Oh, Peter, I'm so happy. Where are we going for our honeymoon?
I got the place all picked out. A tourist cabin near Philadelphia.
A tourist cabin? Oh, Peter, that's grand.
Yeah. See that big bundle of stuff I bought in the last town?
Yes, what's in it?
Oh, lots of things. A rope.
A rope?
Yeah, and a green blanket.
The walls of Jericho.
Right.
Oh, is there anything else?
Hand me that little package.
This one?
That's it.
What's in it?
You'll see. There.
A trumpet. A toy trumpet.
Yeah, I never took a lesson, but I guess I can manage it. Listen to this.
Oh, Peter, that's beautiful.
Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert doing much more than just reading through the lines in a revisit of that 1934 movie, It Happened One Night, in a broadcast for Lux Radio Theater from March 19, 1939. I doubt if you ever had much doubt as to how it was going to come out, but probably enjoyed the unfolding of the story nonetheless. Gangbusters is next. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.